How can you not smile after that? Wow. Thank you, Adam. Please stand as you're able to do so. Do not grieve as those who have no hope.
We believe Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that Jesus is our hope.
Through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us and renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. God of justice and love, you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need and awaken us to the needs of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Amos, the fifth chapter. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. And if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake, is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 70 responsively with me. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let those who
say, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go out to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the time, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. And when Marty read from Amos today, you were like, "Wow, that doesn't sound great." Check out the pondering from this week. I try to explain that a little better, but not a ton of good news today, so I'll try to find some for you and for us. So 2 weeks ago, we did our best to reform the church, or it was Reformation Sunday or something like that. And last week, we celebrated All Saints Sunday. And this week, as I promised to you 3 weeks ago, we're going to have not one, not two, but 3 sermons on 1 Thessalonians. You remember when I promised that? And yet you all still showed up. I'm just kidding. It's not 3 sermons. It's only 1 sermon. It's just going to seem like 3 sermons, Tom. So as a reminder, 1 Thessalonians is the Apostle Paul's earliest known letter. And it's perhaps the earliest written manuscript in what has become the New Testament. And contrary to popular belief, it was not written to us. Paul didn't have us in mind. He wrote it to a particular set of believers, a small sect of believing Gentiles in Thessalonica, which is, as a reminder, a self-governing Roman city in modern-day Greece. This was Paul's audience. So it was not written to people now known as Christians living across the ocean in a town called Galion, Ohio, in 2023. We, of course, are not the intended recipients of this letter. So, should I just end the sermon right here? Cool. I'm out. But it is important to remember the differences, right? They, the Thessalonians, 15 to 20 years max removed from Jesus' death. The whole Christianity thing, new to them, but also very new to that world, right? By putting their faith in Christ and not in Rome, they were in conflict with the powerful in their city and with the emperor. They were saying the emperor was not God. Us, 2,000 years removed from Jesus' death, a little bit more time has passed. There are more Christians on this planet than any other religion in the world. This is not a new religion to us or our world. And at least here in Galleon, Ohio, and across the United States, I would argue, our religion does not put us in mortal danger. We can gather and worship freely. And I would argue that our equivalent of an emperor, which is probably the president, if the president didn't at least claim to be Christian, probably wouldn't be elected as president. So, I re-asked the question that I began this series with 3 weeks ago. Why do we care about this letter in the first place, other than that it is in the Bible and that the most prolific writer in the New Testament or all of the Bible wrote it? Paul. Why do we care about it? And I will make this the same seemingly incongruous claim today as I did 3 weeks ago. For as much as we aren't like these people, for as much as we aren't like the Thessalonian believers, us Galanonian believers, if I keep saying it, it's going to catch on. We are exactly like the Thessalonians. We are exactly like this people. So last week, it was All Saints Sunday. We read the names of the saints from this congregation that we lost over the past year. Rick McNeil. Hey, keep it down. Gosh, my watch is talking to me. We read the names of those who we lost over the past year. Rick McNeil, Delbert Jones. And in our hearts and our minds and on our lips, we've remembered countless other saints that have gone before us in the faith, either from our pews or we came forward here and we lit candles and we shed tears and our hearts ached because we miss these loved ones, don't we? We are like these people because what Paul wrote to them is just as valid for us 2023 Galanonian Christians as it was for the first century Thessalonian believers. He says this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." These Thessalonian believers, they were deeply concerned. They were grieved for their loved ones, their friends, their fellow believers that had died while waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Now, here's where we're maybe a little different. They were waiting for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. We, some of us may, but most of us probably don't believe that that return is imminent, right? We too, though, we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they had taught and preached a message of hope. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus had defeated the foe of the old age, death. Death. Jesus had inaugurated a new age, an age where death was to be no more. But as these new believers were waiting for that imminent return of Jesus, something started to happen. What do you think it was? These Thessalonian believers, some of them, they started to die. So what was going on. They were waiting for the return of Jesus, and while they were waiting, some had started to die, and they had many questions. What was to happen to those who had died before Jesus returned? So Jesus brought this new age into being, but Jesus, who was supposed to return any second now, had not yet returned. If these believers died before Christ's return, how could they, the dead, possibly be with Jesus and their fellow believers and their loved ones that were still living when Jesus returned? When Jesus came back and finished what he had started, when Jesus fully restored humanity and creation into fullness and right relationship with God, when justice would roll down like waters and righteousness like ever-flowing streams. But these believers, the dead, their loved ones, their friends, they perished too early. They didn't stay awake long enough. Christ hadn't returned. So what was to happen to them? Were they doomed? They wanted to know. Now, I say again, for all the ways we aren't like the Thessalonian believers, we are exactly like these Thessalonian believers, because in your estimation, has Christ returned? Mike says yes. No. He's returned? He's come back? Absolutely not. Well, he inaugurated the new age into being, but we expect Christ to return and bring, so here's the old age over here before Christ came. Hold on. This is not a dialogue, Mike. This is a sermon. Over here, old age, before Christ came for the first time, old age, death reigns supreme. Over here, new age, no more death, no more suffering, no more pain. And here we are in the middle. Christ did away with death, but we still live in this in-between where there is death. We're not over here yet. We're right here. So what do we do in this age? And this is exactly what Paul is preaching to today. Because when I look around, I would say that new age where there's no death, no suffering, no pain, it's not here. Because when I look around, I see Ukraine and Russia. That's been going on for what, about a year and a half? Do you know how many people have died? 200,000. When I Googled that this week, I was astounded by that. And an additional 300,000 wounded. But that's been resolved. It's still going on. But then we started this new thing about a month ago in the Middle East. About 15,000 dead. Mostly civilians. Now, somewhere in between these two wars, there was another war that broke out. Do you guys know about this one? Anybody? Anybody? Sudan. There's a Sudanese civil war. 4.5, this was about 8 months ago this one started. 4.5 million people have been displaced from their homes. That's about a tenth of Sudan's population. And more than 9,000 people have been killed. There are humanitarian crises all over the globe, and it seems that new ones begin all the time. And closer to home, here, violence abounds, most recently with a mass casualty shooting in Lewiston, Maine. We know there will be more, but even closer to home, here, some, many even, who we have loved, held, and cherished, lived our lives with, they're not here with us anymore. Parents and grandparents, husbands and wives, children. Yes, even children we have lost. Brothers and sisters, our friends. And still, we're not over there yet in the new age. Christ still hasn't returned. What is to happen to those who have died while we wait for Christ's return? We want to know that.
They're with him?
Hold on, just hold on, I'm getting there. I think us, man. I've created an environment in here so that you guys think that you can, I love it, I love it. Most Lutherans just sit there like, anyway. I think us Galilonians have a lot of the same questions, a lot of the same impatience and frustration and anger. That sounded angry, didn't it? Yes, I love it. As these Thessalonian believers, we say, God, Jesus came to earth, an earth where death and destruction and cruelty and injustice reigned. This was supposed to be the old age. But this new and present age, this inaugurated age, it feels very much the same. And then Jesus gave himself to die for us. And that's how this new inaugurated age came into being. But we're told, be patient. Be patient. This new age, this one over here, it's not quite here yet, but it's coming. And when Jesus returns, sin and suffering and death and injustice and hatred and killing, it will not be here anymore. This is the promise of the new age. And yet, here we are stuck in the middle between this old age and this new age. And it's a hard place to be, God. We pray for your kingdom to come. We pray for it every single Sunday. We pray for it every time we utter the Lord's Prayer. And we are sick of the death and the shootings and the bombs. We are sick of the fighting. We don't want to fight anymore. We are sick of being sick and hurting and being in pain. We are done with the diseases and the cancers. We don't want to see any more of our loved ones die. We are tired, God. Jesus, come quickly to save us. Bring this new age fully into being, or bring us into this new age with you. Bring justice and bring peace. Jesus, come quickly to save us. And this is why Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians is called a pastoral letter, because in it, Paul gives these early Christian followers hope. A hope like no other, a hope that none other in Thessalonica have. A hope that we share with these believers. A hope that all believers will share until Jesus returns. We do not want you to be uninformed, says Paul. Do not be uninformed about those who have died. Do not grieve as others do. You have hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ, Paul tells us. Because Jesus died and rose again, all of those who have died and will die in this in-between, already but not yet age, will be brought to God through Jesus Christ. And when Christ returns, there will be a great celebration by the believers on this earth. The trumpets will sound. This is imagery from the book of Daniel. The trumpets will sound. There will be a great celebration. The believers will go out to meet Jesus up in the clouds, but they don't stay there. They don't stay there. It's not like we believe in the rapture or anything. No. They're going to come back down, and the dead in Christ, those who have died in Christ, will rise. And those who have died in Christ and all the living will be reunited together and alive in Christ. That is what we believe. This is the promise of the resurrection. And in this new age, God's people, those who have died and were resurrected, and those who were alive at his coming, will live with and for God in the new redeemed world, the new age, not here anymore. This, my siblings in Christ, is our hope. And we desperately need this hope, don't we? Instability and death in our world. Instability and death in our lives. Instability and death. Yes. in our church, this church, First Lutheran. But Paul tells us, as he told the Thessalonians, do not grieve as others do, others who have no hope. Yes, we will grieve, and we should grieve, and we must grieve. Grief is a part of the life in this age that exists between the old age over here and the new age over here. Our life exists with grieving. But we no longer live in that old age where there is no hope. Jesus died and Jesus rose again. Jesus Christ died and rose again, and in doing so defeated death. He inaugurated the new life, the new age, the age for which we impatiently wait, and the age for which we pray. And though we still see and experience suffering and pain and violence and, yes, death, we know that ours is a God that died but didn't stay dead. Jesus died and rose again. So our grief, it comes with hope. The hope of the resurrection. The hope that we will be reunited with those who we have lost. The hope of new life for us in this church. May Jesus come quickly to save us. And in the meantime, may we encourage one another. As Paul commended to the Thessalonians, may we encourage one another with the hope that is only available to us in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My siblings in Christ, we wait and we grieve as those who have hope. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Did I answer your concern there? Yeah, see, I knew I was getting there.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe
in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need.
O God, for whom we wait, our hope is found only in you. Come quickly and save your people, fully restoring all your people and your creation back to you. Deepen our faith through meaningful worship, while we may be gathered, prepared, and sent into the world to act with justice and proclaim your truth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. O God, for whom we long, let justice roll down like waters on all nations. Bless citizens with wise leaders. Save your children and the innocent from the chaos of war and the death and destruction it brings, and the cycle of violence in Ukraine and Russia, in Israel and Gaza, in Sudan. Raise leaders that seek justice and understand mercy, that they may be bold to your will, to do your will in these and all war-torn lands. We pray for the veterans of this and all communities, that they are heard, comforted, supported, and loved, both by us and the organizations that are meant to provide them assistance and care. Hear us, O God.
Praise you.
O God, for whom we watch, we glimpse your power in rushing water and your beauty in the darkening night. Restore this creation and provide clean water to all people and animals. Save us from foolish, wasteful living. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy.
O God, in whom we hope, we pray for all who are in need. Provide for those who experience homelessness or hunger. Support the under or unemployed, and comfort any who are suffering this day, especially the family and friends of Frida, Evelyn, Marianne, Bobby, Mary, Michael, Dwayne, Caleb, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Lord, we continue to lift those whose lives are upended by violence. Though they are far away, we hear the cries of the innocents in Israel and Gaza, in Ukraine, in Sudan, and in many other places across the world. And closer to home, we grieve with those impacted by mass shooting events, most recently in Lewiston, Maine. Inspire lawmakers and nations, though their positions may vary, to come together and enact policy meant to address the issues that stand at the root of this suffering. Hear us, O God.
O God, for whom we listen, inspire the music ministry of our congregation. Fill our worship with songs to proclaim your greatness. Help us to sing with joy and inspire us to share the good news of Jesus Christ beyond these walls. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. At this time, we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
God of all goodness, generations have turned to you. Gather around your table and share your abundant blessings. Number us among them that as we gather these gifts from your abundance, that we give thanks to your rich blessing. We may feast upon your very self and care for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and servant. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and prayers.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. There is a place for you at this banquet table. Come and eat, for all is now ready. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal, you have set a banquet. Sustain us on the journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children. And give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way. Amen.
You may be seated for a few brief announcements. First, I want to thank everyone. I promised a while back that we would give a final number for the rummage sale. $1,509.31. So thank you for all who are involved in that. That will go back into our local mission and outreach. Worship and music. We haven't had a meeting for a while. We're going to plan Advent and whatnot next Sunday following worship, and then the following Sunday we will be returning with our adult education following worship services. So with that, I'm going to keep that very, very brief because we have a meeting after this. So any other announcements this morning? Ron. There will be a chance for that we have an update in the annual meeting. Yes. Mike. Please stand as you're able to do so.
May the God of all creation, in whose image we were made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give you reason to rejoice and to be glad. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Encourage one another with these words.
Thanks be to God.